Hey, thanks for listening to this Joy podcast. If you like what we do and you listen to our podcast on a regular basis, it's time to put your money where your ears are. It's Radiothon. Go to joy.org.au, become a member or donate and keep us out loud and proud so we can make more of the stuff you like.
Broadway icon John Cameron Mitchell channels the essence of his glam rock icon, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, for one night only at Arts Centre Melbourne this July. So put on some makeup, turn up the A-track and pull the wig down from the shelf. John Cameron Mitchell, July 10 at Arts Centre Melbourne. Book now. Joy sponsor.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy live from Etihad Stadium, where the Saints and Swans are going head-to-head for the annual AFL Pride Match. You're on Joy 94.9, sponsored by the AFL.
0427 569 949, 0427 Joy 949, CTF Joy 949 is our Twitter handle.
You know that, don't you? I know that. Yeah, like Rachel, the back of my hand.
Rachel and Danae.
Twitching as we speak.
The representative, Chicks Talking Footy, right here, right now. Well, hello, friends. Rachel, I think I've had the pleasure of talking with Gerald in AFL Pride Game 1. Gerald Rector, CEO of Vic Health.
You certainly have.
Many other things. And Tanya Hosh, who's the GM of Diversity and Inclusion.
Inclusion, yeah. Social Policy, yeah, same thing.
You've both been great friends of the show, so thank
we
you
love
so
the show.
Much.
We do.
Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Very exciting night.
Gerald, I've talked with you before, and I did a little bit more homework.
Uh-oh.
Feeling
a bit scared.
Get worried.
Right now.
Yes,
don't be afraid. But I didn't realise that you were a dancer.
That's correct. I was a professional dancer. It's all I ever wanted to be when I was growing up, either a professional dancer or some kind of superstar athlete. I did play AFL until my parents said, nope, that's it. In high school, Gerald, it's over. No more playing with the boys.
Yeah, right.
And so, yes, I ended up pursuing a career in professional dancing.
What sort of dancing?
I studied classical all my life and then was a professional contemporary dancer. But it was that thing when you want it really badly, you work incredibly hard for it, and then you do it and you hate it and you have to leave it. And that's actually what happened in the end. So after wanting this thing for so long, I did it and then decided it wasn't actually the career for me. So then had to do a big transition.
That's amazing. So you're ministerially inquiring to women and girls in sport and active recreation, and you got a Bachelor of Education in Theatre and Dance. So how important is being able to be flexible in your work in health promotion?
I think my flexibility is not what it used to be, and I do get a little bit sad when I'm doing my yoga class and I can't, get anywhere near my toes like I used to be able to. However, I think what's been fantastic about my background in the arts is it's brought to me a creative thinking background, and that's what I use each and every day. That's the artistic bit that I love to use within my role. And at Vic Health in health promotion, we work outside of those places like hospitals. We work where people live, learn, love, work and play, and that's real life. And so being able to bring those creative skills that I learnt being a dancer and a choreographer and artistic director and in arts management, etc., into my role is a wonderful thing. It's a joy, should I say, each and every day. So it's great.
And Tanya, you're here again with us this year. Welcome to the Pride Game.
Thank you.
So you are the AFL GM of Inclusion and Social Policy. You've been in that role a bit longer since the last time we spoke to you. at that time, the Sydney Swans director said she was happy the club's diversity action plan was high on action. So how important is measurable elements of diversity action plans for you?
Well, I mean, I think that every club, every organisation needs to have a plan. I think that if you just wait for it to happen organically, it's going to take a really long time. So I think if you are serious about inclusion and you're serious about making sure that everyone feels like they can access what's on offer, then you actually have to have a plan to make that happen. You have to ask people to the table, and then when they're there, you've got to make sure that they feel confident to bring other people to the table. And I think that takes some people longer than others to learn, but also to feel confident about. So one of the things I love about my job is helping anyone in this industry feel more confident to open the table up and to bring other people to the table and host them and learn more about each other And I feel like that's the best thing.
So the onus or initiative is on the club. So have you seen more clubs commit to diversity action plans since you took this role or over the past year?
Because Sam Mostyn, it had just launched when we were at the last Pride game. So are more clubs involved now?
Well, I don't know if any other club has actually launched a diversity action plan at the moment, but everybody does have a reconciliation action plan, and that's quite new that every club would have that. But I definitely know that the AFL's encourage every club to do a social inclusion round and to choose whatever it is that they, whatever theme it is that they want. And one of the things that's exciting to me about that is that really then gives people an opportunity not just to do this sort of one-off thing and, you know, have some great activations that, you know, look good at the time and feel good at the time and then sort of drift away for the rest of the season. I think it gives and really invites clubs to establish meaningful partnerships with the community that they choose to highlight.
And it also means that they will also consult with the community, which I think is vitally important when these decisions are being made on how to move forward.
Absolutely. And it just means that real partnership, real relationship, and I think that's where you get sustainable outcomes. And I think about, you know, the Sir Doug Nicholls round and how successful that has become, you know, and I look forward to a time where every, you know, club says, well, we should be doing Pride game too, which is basically what happened out of Dreamtime at the G. And so now, you know, you see the club jumpers that every club, you know, goes and has designed, and you see just how popular it is, particularly with the public as well. And if you think, you know, we're a small percentage of the population, Indigenous Australians, and to see how many people come in and celebrate that and just think, well, that can spread across a whole range of inclusion topics.
Exactly.
3% roughly Indigenous population and represented 11-12% in the AFL. Not quite happening in the AFL women's yet, but I think that next generation of players in the women's competition will include more young women who are from Northern Territory, West Australian and South
AFLW,
Australian.
AFLW I think is sitting around 3-4% Indigenous representation, which isn't too bad in the first 2 years. But I know a lot of clubs have got their eyes on some of that Indigenous young women's talent, particularly in remote parts of Australia where these young women have been playing their brothers and cousins for many, many years and have got some deadly skills.
Absolutely. Gerald, you got on the board of the Western Bulldogs at a really good time.
Thank you.
Scooped an AFLW Premiership.
Yes.
You've had an AFLW Pride game.
Yep.
Do you want to move over to Fremantle?
No.
I'd like some luck. How much has the women's competition invigorated the space?
I think for the club, winning that AFLW competition earlier this year was such an incredibly special moment. And I think on the back of the men's premiership in the 2 years prior, to have that across the club has just been fantastic energy. We've got a VFLW team now, and they're playing incredibly well in the sense that they're a new team. The AFLW players are just now joining the team. The incredible Deb Lee is coaching her heart out. She's our amazing head of football at the Western Bulldogs, and she's doing a terrific job. And to see her and Chris Grant together looking at what does how do we support the players from AFL, VFL, but also AFLW and VFLW is a fantastic thing for the club. And I think it's interesting for a lot of clubs that have gone from, you know, two teams being the traditional men's teams to then having four teams is a really interesting thing, and so that's certainly something we're looking at the Dogs.
So within that space of football, what have you seen change since we first chatted back at the first AFL Pride game in 2016?
Oh, look, what I mean, even just tonight, just seeing how much has changed, I think, for the LGBTIQ community after the historic yes vote from last year, to see the support here tonight. And you know that I love to talk about statistics because it's an important piece.
Please do.
I think when we did our research 2 years ago at the initial Pride game, and just to see how much we've come in terms of the community feeling supported at games and not having that fear when they would come to an AFL game is fantastic. And I, you know, thank the AFL for the work that they've done in that regards as well.
So it was 3 and 5 were...
Yeah.
afraid of violence or discomfort.
They'd witnessed, witnessed homophobia, transphobia, or they'd ought to been perpetrated
would
against them.
Would that be them. In supporters and on the field or both?
It was. We did it for supporters, so it was a benchmarking survey for supporters. But what we did see after the end of that first game from 2 years ago was that over 90% of the LGBTIQ community felt supported and safe and welcome and included at the Pride game. Now, that's just awesome. And as Tonya was saying, if we can have one Pride game that then becomes two Pride games and more Pride games and the community gets to feel safe and welcomed in all of those things, that's fantastic.
And speaking of numbers, Tanya, I'm not going to bore you with a lot, but originally there were about three AFL supporter groups, LGBTI supporter groups, and now the AFL Works has a pretty formal relationship with the AFL Pride Collective because there's so many teams that are supported by a supporter group that it's easier to name those that aren't.
Yes.
What's that relationship like?
Well, look, I mean, for me, it's still quite a new relationship, and I was fortunate to be invited into a meeting with the group last year and have a yarn about all the different issues of concern and just to help me understand better what the journey has been for those groups, trying to make their way into their club community while maintaining their own distinct identity and being able to celebrate that as part of being footy supporters. So that was really great. And at the time, I didn't even realise that there was so many groups. And so as we see those grow in size and number, and definitely I go the footy a fair bit, and to see those groups represented at games every time I go to a game is fantastic. And certainly, you know, I'm not getting a lot of complaints about people's experiences, which, you know, I think backs up what Gerald said. So I feel like it's onwards and upwards.
Well, Tanya Hosh, AFL GM of Inclusion and Social Policy, thanks so much for coming back. Jill Rector, dancer.
Thank you.
Board member and the CEO of Vic Health. Thank you so much for joining us again on the Joy AFL Pride Game broadcast.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.